Amen, guys. It's good to have the opportunity to share with you guys again. We're continuing in our study of 1 Thessalonians this morning. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to 1 Thessalonians 3, or if you have the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, you can pull up the live events on the YouVersion app, and you can see our verses and passages for today on there. But before we get into 1 Thessalonians 3 this morning, I kind of want to go back and remind us a little bit of where we've been, what Paul's talked about already in his letter to the Thessalonian church. That he started out in chapter 1 praising them, that they accepted the gospel of Jesus and they accepted it joyfully, and that they've been an example to other believers. Not just other believers in their town, but that their testimony has spread throughout the entire region. Right, that's a pretty awesome thing, that they're so living for Jesus. Their life is so different from what it was in the idolatry that they followed before accepting the gospel, that it's not just stuck out to the people immediately around them, but word has spread throughout the entire region. And Paul just praises them and praises God for that in them. And then last week in 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul reminisces about his time in Thessalonica, his time with the Thessalonians. He had gone there and he had preached the gospel to them, and he had spent time there with them and worked as a tent maker while he was there with them, but also preached and taught them the gospel and taught them the teachings of Jesus. And he reminisces some about his times there and what that was like, and especially about his passion in his heart for the gospel and his passion in his heart and his love for them. And Pastor Doug talked about that a lot last week, that ministry, our service to Jesus, isn't just an activity. It's not just to be a job, but it's to be life. That our life is to be about sharing the love of Jesus with other people and reaching out to the people around us. And that's the heart and the passion that Paul had. In chapter 2, he uses two analogies. He uses the analogy of a mother. He says, we were like a mother with you, nurturing you. These new believers in Jesus, he was nurturing them and bringing them along. He says, we were like a father guiding you, instructing you, exhorting you. And I think it's interesting that he gives three kind of verbs, three things that the father does, and in the middle of that, those three things is the word compassion. That he exhorts, that he commands, but he does it all with compassion and love and care, not bullying them into doing stuff, but compassionately guiding them and going along with them. And he just says, we had that heart of a mother and a father caring for you, wanting to see you grow in knowing Jesus. It shows Paul's closeness, Paul's intimacy that he wanted to have with them. And then Pastor Doug ended last week with the end of chapter 2, where Paul says, we didn't just want to share with you a message, but we wanted to share with you our lives as well. And how as believers, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're not just to come together to meet for an hour on Sunday morning, but to share our lives with each other, caring for each other. And that connection, that intimacy Paul had with those Thessalonian believers and that we should have with each other. But as we get into 1 Thessalonians 3, Paul's moving ahead in the story a little bit. That he was in Thessalonica for a while, but eventually he was driven out, actually physically driven out by some Jewish leaders out of the city, and now he's been unable for whatever reason to return to the city of Thessalonica. And he talks about his heart's desire. He really wants to go back and he wants to see them again and see how they're doing and continue to teach and instruct them. And in the beginning of chapter 3, you really see his heart's desire to do that. But yet he's hindered and he's unable to do that. And so eventually Paul says he sent Timothy to them. Timothy was a young guy that Paul had mentored. Other places he says Timothy was like a son to him. That, that he sends Timothy to see how these Thessalonian believers are doing, to check on their progress. And Timothy goes and spends some time with them, and he says Timothy comes back, and Timothy gives a good report about their faith, that they're still pursuing Jesus, that they still have a heart and affection and love for Paul, and that they want to see Paul again, but more importantly, that they want to continue to pursue Jesus and know who Jesus is. And that this is a huge encouragement to Paul. And I just want to stop and give a little side note here, that as a leader, or as anyone that has had the opportunity to impact somebody else in their life, especially spiritually, it's an awesome thing to hear a report that they're doing well and that they're following Jesus. I've had the opportunity to work with teenagers for a while now, and some of the teenagers God's blessed me to work with have grown up and become adults, and it's awesome when I see them or get to talk to them and hear that they're still following Jesus. Right? It's an encouraging thing that God used whatever weak effort I put forward to do a little something in their life, and that God is still at work in their life. And I just want to challenge you this week to think about the people who have made an impact in your life, and take a minute this week and say thank you to those people. If it's possible, if you can still get in touch with them, take a minute and say thank you. It doesn't have to be a big, long letter, but tell them thanks for the impact that they had on your life. And tell them you're still pursuing and you're still following Jesus. That's a huge encouragement for a leader. And that's a little side challenge for you today. But anyway, to get back to this text, Paul hears this good report that they're doing well, but he still has concern for them. He still has a heart for them. Look at verse 9, and this is where I want to start digging in a little bit more today. Look at verse 9. Paul writes there, "For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before God." Again, Paul is thankful. He's joyous that they're doing well, that they're continuing to pursue Jesus. And then he says in verse 10, "As we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith." But Paul says, "You're doing well. I'm excited that you're doing well. I'm joyful that you're doing well." But he's still praying for them. There's still a concern there. He still wants to see them continue to grow and mature. Still wants to see them face to face. He says to supply what is lacking. That word supply there, we need to understand that a little bit. Paul's not saying there's a hole in your faith and I need to come supply and fill that hole. That word supply more has the connotation of to build up and to encourage. Not that they have a hole in their faith, but that he wants to keep building them up, keep seeing them grow and develop more and more. Keep moving on to maturity. How many of you guys are parents that have adult children? Right, there's a number of you parents that have adult children. How many of you still care about your adult children, even if they're out of the house? Right? A good parent, when their kid turns 18, doesn't go up to them and go, "Son, you're 18 now. Good luck. Maybe we'll catch up and have a beer someday." Right? A good parent continues to care about their children even when they're out of the house. And if you have an adult children, you can understand kind of Paul's feeling here. Right? His spiritual children here in Thessalonica, they've grown up. They've started to mature. But Paul says, "I still care about you. Even though you're doing well, I still want to be there for you, and I still want to help you grow." And we can learn and we can apply from this from two different perspectives. And I want us to think about this from two different perspectives today. First of all, if we put ourselves in the shoes of the Thessalonian believers, that we can see here that maturity isn't a one and done thing. Maturity is a continual process. That we all need to continue to grow in our faith and in our relationship with Jesus. Even if we're doing well, we still need to continue to grow. Right? Whether you accepted Christ for the first time this week and you're still just trying to figure out what this Jesus stuff is all about, or whether you're like Pastor Don and you've been a Christian for years and years and years and you remember when the Apostle Paul came to your town and shared the gospel with you. I'm glad you guys got that one. I'm just kidding. Last time I spoke, I really built up Pastor Don, so I got to humble him a little bit this morning. Right, but you get my point. Whether this is new to you or you've been doing this for a long, long time, there's still room to grow. Paul says in Philippians 2:12 that we're to work out our salvation. And Paul there is talking to believers. Paul's very clear in a lot of other passages that to be saved, all it takes is us putting our faith and our trust in Jesus. So when he says, work out your salvation, he's not saying, work hard to be saved. He's saying, since you are saved, work hard to understand what your salvation means. Work hard to understand who the Jesus is that saved you and what that means for your life and how you can live in accordance with that going forward. That there's to be a continual process of growth. Even in Philippians 3:12, Paul even says about his own relationship with Jesus, he says, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I strive towards the goal of the upward call of Christ. Even the great apostle Paul says, I still have room to grow. There's still more I have to learn. I still need to keep pushing to know Jesus better. And so the first thing I want to challenge you with today is, are you continuing to pursue maturity in Jesus? Are you continuing to seek to grow? It's not just pray a prayer and then chill until Jesus comes back. It's work out your salvation, continue to understand more and more what Jesus has done for you and how we can share that with other people. Secondly, we can look at this from the perspective of Paul. I talked a month or so ago about being a leader. And I challenged us that we're all leaders to somebody. There is somebody in your life who is looking up to you. And so like Paul, we're leaders to somebody and we need to have a heart of compassion towards those people and be seeking to help them grow in maturity in Jesus. It's not just that we're growing for ourselves, but we're also helping other people to grow in maturity in their relationship with Jesus. And I think it's interesting that the heart Paul has to continue to pursue these people and continue to pursue their growth in their relationship with Jesus. Because Paul could have gone into Thessalonica, preached the gospel, started the church, and then said, good luck, I'm on to the next town. But again and again in Paul's epistles, we see he plants this church, but he still wants to teach them. He's still writing letters. He's still trying to visit them. He's still praying earnestly night and day for them. That we need to have a heart to reach out to the lost, but also a heart to help people grow who already know Jesus. There's probably someone in your sphere of influence that knows a little less about Jesus than you do, and you can make an impact and help them grow to know Jesus more. And based on our personality, we're probably drawn more towards one or the other. We're drawn more towards reaching out to lost people, or we're probably drawn more to working with believers in the church and helping to build deeper faith. Personally, for me, I'm naturally more drawn to just teaching and working with believers and helping them to have deeper understanding of the Bible and of Jesus. And I have to make a conscious effort to say I need to keep reaching out as well. Because we need that balance as a church. We need people who are going to reach out. And people who are going to bring in lost people and go to the broken and the hurting and reach them with the gospel. And we need people who are going to help those people who come into our church, those people who are new believers, to continue to grow in their relationship with Jesus. As a church, we need both of those things. And as individuals, we need balance in our life. That we have people around us who need to know the love of Jesus for the first time, and we have people around us who need to continue to grow and develop and have some of the knowledge and maturity that we have in our relationship with Jesus? Are we seeking maturity in ourselves? And are we seeking to help others grow in maturity? And now there's one other big topic that Paul hits on in this chapter, and he hits on it a lot in 1 Thessalonians. And at first it's going to seem a little bit unrelated to this idea of maturity, but it's going to come back around, and we're going to see it's really going to tie in with maturity well. Look at verses 3 and 4 of 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. That no one may be moved by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. That we need to understand, Paul was a guy who suffered a lot of affliction, suffered a lot of persecution, was beaten up repeatedly for following Jesus and for presenting the gospel. And like I said earlier, he had been physically kicked out of Thessalonica for preaching the gospel. And these Thessalonian believers continued to suffer affliction, continued to suffer persecution. Last week in chapter 2, it talked about how the Jewish leaders were trying to stop the spread of the gospel even in Thessalonica. And Paul says, I don't want you to be surprised that this is happening. I don't want you to be surprised that there's affliction. I don't want you to be surprised that there's tough times in your life. And why is this important for us? And why is this important when we talk about maturity? Because there is a teaching out there that says, follow Jesus and everything in your life is going to be butterflies and rainbows. There's a teaching out there that says, the more you pursue Jesus, that God's going to rain down material blessings from heaven on you. And the reality is that's not what the Bible teaches us. Yes, God cares for us. Yes, God brings us healing, but He doesn't always make things perfect in our life when we follow Him. We still have trials. We still have suffering. We still have tough times. And sometimes we have even more trial and suffering because we're following Jesus, because we're going against a culture a lot of times, that we're pursuing something totally different than our culture says to pursue, and it puts us at odds with them at times. And Paul says, don't be surprised that tough times are going to come. That suffering is part of our maturing process in Jesus. That we're going to see it's actually going to be a good thing. But if we're telling people, follow Jesus and everything's going to be perfect, then they're going to be disappointed. If we as individuals are following Jesus thinking, well, if I do this for Jesus, then I'm going to get all these blessings and Jesus is going to give me all this stuff, we're probably going to be disappointed. And it's like when I was a freshman in college. I was up at UPJ as a freshman up there. And not too long into our freshman semester up there, my buddy got the idea that we needed to start working out. We needed to start lifting weights. And my buddy comes to me and he's like, yeah, we need to start working out. And to try and sell this to me, he says, if we start lifting weights, then we'll get jacked and then we'll get girls. And when you're an 18-year-old guy in college, what are you there for? To get girls. You tell your parents, it's all about the education, I'm getting a wonderful educational experience. But really, you're there for the girls, right? So I'm like, if this is going to get me girls, I'm in. And so we go and we start weightlifting, and the first thing I find out when I start exercising is, this is hard work. Especially up at UPJ, if you've ever been in that old weight room up there, you're like back in the corner of the gym building and there's like no windows and it's constantly 100 degrees even when it's like zero outside and you're dying and there's sweaty, disgusting wrestlers in there. Sorry, Doug. But it's hard work. It's tough. And if you're here today saying, man, I really enjoy exercise, I gotta be honest with you and tell you either A, you're not doing it right, or B, there's something wrong with your head. Exercise is tough. And so I'm there, and this is hard. But I'm like, my buddy said we're gonna get girls, so I'm still in. I'm still working hard, and I found out after a little bit though the girls weren't flocking to me. I'm getting married in a month, so maybe it worked out long term for me. But in the immediate sense, it wasn't really working out for me there. I learned a little bit later that you actually still have to engage girls in conversation, no matter how jacked you are. Took me a little bit longer to get that one. But here's the point of all this. I thought my buddy was selling me a bill of goods. He said, we're going to do this, and it's going to be good, and we're going to get girls. And in the end, I'm like, man, this is hard work, and I'm not getting what you promised me. And when we promise people, follow Jesus, and he's going to rain down material blessings on you, we're selling them a bill of goods, like my buddy did to me. Because that's not what Jesus promises us. Sometimes it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard internally, because we're fighting sin and we're fighting those selfish desires in us, and that's a battle inside of us. Sometimes it's going to be hard externally, because God doesn't always deliver us from the suffering that just naturally happens on this earth. Bad things still happen to us. And sometimes it's going to be hard externally, because people are going to come against us and what we believe and stand for. But going back to the weightlifting thing, you guys that know me know that I still exercise and I still lift a good bit. And I don't do it now to get girls. I've matured a little bit, just a little bit, in my thinking, and realized that exercise is good for my long-term health. Exercise has good long-term physical, emotional, mental benefits for me, and so that keeps me motivated and going in it. I had to mature in my attitude towards exercise. And in the same way, we need to have a mature attitude in our relationship with Christ to realize it's not about going after things right now. It's not about how Jesus can make my life great right now. It's about seeking after deeper, more long-term, more purposeful and meaningful things in maturing and pursuing Jesus. Look at verse 12. Paul lays out two of them here at the end of the chapter. He says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. He says that as we grow in maturity, and especially as we grow in maturity through suffering and affliction in tough times, right, that suffering can turn us inward. Right? We probably know somebody who's going through a tough time and it's turned them inward. And they're always, woe is me, look at what I'm going through. But that's never what we see with Paul. Suffering always turns him outward. No matter what he's going through, Paul's focus and his vision is outward into loving other people. And he says, how can this suffering mature me so that I can love other people better? Because there's a lot of things we go through in life that you can't fully understand what that suffering is until you suffered it yourself. And so God uses our suffering and uses our tough times to make us more compassionate and more empathetic towards other people who are going through suffering. Because we can stand with them and we can say, I understand. And also when we look out and look to love other people, it makes our suffering look a whole lot smaller. Right? That little thing that I'm upset about, that I don't have the exact meal that I want to eat tonight for dinner, looks a whole lot smaller when I remember there are people that don't have anything to eat. Right? When we look outward, growing in that maturity in our relationship with Jesus and love for other people, God uses our suffering and God makes our suffering seem smaller. It gives us a purpose and a meaning to get through the affliction and the suffering that we face. Second aspect of maturity here, verse 13. So that He, God, may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. So Paul says he looks outward to other people and he looks outward to God. That suffering sharpened Paul's focus on God. That it took Paul's focus off of all the things in this world, in this life, that can be a distraction and made those things look small like they actually are because the hope that Jesus gives us for eternity is so great. That when we suffer, when we go through affliction, sometimes it's that little nudge from God to say, don't focus on all these things here that are just temporary. Whether they're good or they're bad, they're just temporary. What really matters is the hope that we have in Jesus. That's what's really going to matter long term. That's what's really valuable. That's what really should drive us with purpose and with joy, is that we have a hope someday that we'll be with Jesus and we have the opportunity to bring other people along with us in that. The maturity through affliction sharpens our focus on what really matters. And this is something that, I'll be honest with you, God's really been hammering me with over the past couple months. Because I'm so easily distracted. I love doing everything. Like, I learned to ski this winter. That was a lot of fun. I love fishing. I love watching sports. There's all these things that I love to do, and sometimes I get so distracted, just, man, I want to do these things, and I want to make more money so I can do more of this stuff, and you get just tied up in all of these things, and your focus becomes just so narrow on just these temporary things. And sometimes we need God to grab us and shake us up a little bit and say, mature, sharpen your focus, turn your focus on eternal things to bring real hope and purpose and value in life. Are you striving after things that really matter? I just want to challenge you to think about that this morning. Are you seeking to grow in maturity in your relationship with Jesus? Not just be comfortable where you're at, but seek to continue to grow in maturity. Seek to help other people grow in maturity. And that means turning your focus outward to other people and continuing to love them, and turning your focus upward to God and seeking to do the things that really matter. Make those your number one goal and aim in life. There's a quote, I put it on YouVersion there, from Matthew Henry. It says, the more we find pleasure in the ways of God, the more we shall desire to preserve in them. Are we finding pleasure in the ways of God? Let me pray for us. Lord God, Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how it challenges us, but thank you as well for the hope that it gives us. Especially as we go through affliction and struggles and trials in this life, that those things are not meaningless. But they're part of this maturing process that you desire for us to go through. Let those things that we face turn our focus outward to others, that we would really love them, and let it turn our focus upwards to you. Lord, just remove the distractions that so easily take our focus, so easily hinder us from really pursuing you. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.